Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
All right, it's Taz and Moose with you here on this Thursday morning on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Billy and Mike across the way, Bogus, with your updates. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
That is your number to call, Taz, as we are waiting upon London Fletcher to give us a ring here to see if chat a little football with him, the former linebacker with the Washington Redskins and a number of other teams as well, the Los Angeles Rams, or the St. Louis Rams, I should say, at the time. Very, very productive linebacker. But, you know, and Thursday Night Football tonight, yep, back in action as you got the Panthers and Buccaneers.
Yeah, yes. And we talked a lot about talked about this game, what potentially can go down. It's an important, already week two, very important for Jameis Winston to show what he's got. So let's see as they go on the road to Carolina.
Yeah, let's see. And for Winston, important time for him. There's no doubt about it. And if for Winston, he's got to cut down on the turnovers. Bruce Arians, year number one as Buccaneers head coach, he was brought in to turn this season around. Let's welcome aboard right now London Fletcher. He's working with Crown Royal. We'll get into that here momentarily. Hey, London, Taz and the Moose with you. Appreciate the time this morning.
London, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Hanging in there, London. Hanging in there. You know, Thursday
hanging
night.
Hanging in there.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I mean, listen, I'm going to be honest with you, London. You know, I'm not a big, I don't love the Thursday night product.
I don't mind it as much. So we're
Taz
kind of
doesn't mind it. We agree to disagree on it. I think you get a lot of bad football when you're rushing teams back on the field 4 days after they just played.
I think early in the season it's not going to be as bad because, you know, week two, guys' bodies are still relatively fresh. As you get in the latter part of the season, November, December, it is extremely tough on the body, especially for the road team. I've played in a couple of Thursday night games on the, at home and on the road, and the road team definitely is at a disadvantage just because of the travel and that short week, and also depending on how physical the Sunday game was that they played in.
Right, right, no doubt. And speaking of that road team, as we know, the Bucs tonight, London, they go on the road and they play Carolina, you know. So what do you think? I mean, give us your thoughts, opinions from a player perspective as a guru defensively as you were in your career, an awesome player on Jameis Winston, man. You know, Moose and I were talking a good amount about him. I mean, give us a little breakdown on him, what you think of him and what he could do this year.
Well, I think Getting with Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich is going to be a benefit to Jameis. He has tremendous talent, you know, the arm talent, all the things are there. Now it's just a matter of him cleaning up his fundamentals, you know, being precise with where he needs to go with the football. I know he threw a couple of interceptions, three interceptions on Sunday, and
yes,
Bruce came out and said two of those weren't his fault. So that's getting guys on the same page with him as well. I think as the season progresses, Jameis will you'll start to see Jameis excel in his Bruce Arians offense.
And when you look at Carolina here, you know, McCaffrey's absolutely a stud. We know that. What about where Cam Newton is health-wise? I mean, he's getting asked questions over the last couple of days about throwing the ball deep. Where do you think that shoulder is for Cam?
You know, I live here in Charlotte, and that's all everybody wants to talk about is, you know, Cam. I'm not a huge Cam Newton fan. I think with him being at this point in his career, he should be further along as far as being more accurate with the football. And, you know, this is even prior to the shoulder injury. I don't know that they feel like either they don't trust Cam to throw it deep on a regular basis, consistent basis, or they don't feel they have the receivers that can, you know, stretch the field, get deep, and do all those things on a consistent basis. So that's something that I'm not sure if it's a combination of both or if it's just, say, Cam's arm, shoulders not totally fully there, and to have him, you know, throwing the football, you know, down the field, they don't feel comfortable. But I will say this, if you're a defense and you feel like a quarterback's not going to throw the ball further than 20 yards down the field, you can just be more aggressive. You can take more chances from a defense standpoint. I can remember playing against Chad Pennington, and Chad was a really good quarterback. extremely accurate. And but Chad wasn't one who was really going to challenge you vertical down the field often throughout a ball game. So, you know, in our defensive meetings, hey, you know, we tell the defensive coordinator, tell the defensive back, hey, he's not going to throw it deep. You know, you'll have to be as concerned with the deep ball. Even when I played, you know, maybe cover two, and I'm the middle linebacker having to run down the middle of the field deep, I'm like, man, I'm not running down that field. He's not throwing it deep. So I got an interception off him because I didn't go deep.
and you're right. I remember I followed the Jets a lot back then, London, when you talk about. And you're right. I remember that about Chad. And he didn't have a gun on him. He couldn't throw the ball deep. But his accuracy.
Chad was extreme.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I was just going to say his accuracy, to your point, was tremendous, right? That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he was able to get away with it and play a long period of time, and the Jets won with Chad because of his accuracy. And, you know, they designed offense to get the ball out of his hands quickly and took advantage of his skill set. That's where, again, and I don't know if James,
Cam.
Cam is having difficulty throwing a deep ball. So if that's the case, then Norv's going to have to you know, design an offense like the Jets used with Chad Pennington.
Right, right. Now, so sticking on the Panthers for a second, London. So, obviously, the running back, McCaffrey, tremendous, right? He close to 130 yards last week, couple touchdowns, you know, against the Rams. A good Rams defense, even though the Panthers lost the game. Speak on that. As a linebacker, an inside backer, you could speak on that better than anybody, you know, as far as taking care of the running back, watching the running back, covering the running back, first responsibilities, right? Watching that running back. Talk on McCaffrey a little bit, man. I mean, I would assume you're a fan of this guy's play. He's tremendous.
Oh, I'm so much of a fan, I drafted him in my fantasy league.
There you go.
My man, there you go.
I had the third pick, and I wasn't sure he would be there. And there he was. He was there waiting for me, and it didn't take me long to run to make that pick. You know, with McCaffrey, he can do so many different things, especially catching the balls out of the backfield. So that puts a lot of stress on your defense, whether you're a linebacker or a safety, knowing that you're going to have to cover this guy. He's a true matchup problem coming out of the backfield receiving the ball. But he's, you know, he's a tough between the tackles guy too, and he did a lot of that at Stanford. A lot of power, a lot of stuff between the tackles. Even though he's not, you know, extremely big, he's tough. Has good balance, good runs with good power, good contact balance, but he definitely presents a problem for defenses.
We're talking to London Fletcher, longtime NFL linebacker. Hey, London, you're working with Crown Royal. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so I've teamed up with Crown Royal this year. You know, for me, I played 16 seasons on the field, and I know the importance of staying hydrated. And with Crown Royal, we've teamed up to encourage fans off the field to take water breaks during this football season across the country. And, you know, it's extremely important that they take those water breaks in between cocktails. You know, I do it when I'm enjoying my Crown Royal Regal Apple and Cranberry Juice cocktail.
Nice.
I take my water breaks as well.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It's important to take those water breaks. Stay hydrated, obviously, and enjoy your Crown Royal. London, Antonio Brown up there in Foxborough. You know, number one, a lot of speculation, and Belichick wouldn't answer. Number one, do you think the Patriots knew that this lawsuit was coming down before they signed him? Number two is, how do you think this plays out with Brown up in Foxborough?
I don't think they knew this was coming down. I don't think you signed a guy knowing that this is another distraction or red flag or whatever the case may be. I don't think they signed him knowing that that was going to happen. I'm not sure how it's going to play out. It's a legal situation, and obviously it'll play out through the legal system. And that's kind of how it's going to be. I don't know from an NFL standpoint. I don't know what they're going to do, how they're going to proceed with it. If the league decides to place him on a commissioner's exempt list, you know, through their investigation, that is an option that they have. You know, that'll be interesting because, you know, suppose he's found to be innocent, then, you know, that was harm done to him. But if he's guilty, you know, obviously he can't be on the football field. So we'll see how it plays out from a legal standpoint.
Well, putting aside the seriousness of these allegations by this young lady towards Antonio Brown, I got to ask you, London, you know, during your years, you know, you were a leader, and I mean, I never played on the field with you, never was in a locker room with you, but I would assume that you were probably a pretty tough leader behind closed doors to your teammates at times, especially younger guys and stuff trying on the come up, you know. I don't know, I'm just trying to envision Antonio Brown and London Fletcher on the same team in a locker room, and him doing some of the stuff he did in Pittsburgh, like some of his, you know, and all the stuff that happened with the Raiders and stuff. I mean, I'm just saying, how would you handle something? Not just Antonio, but you don't have to name names, but I'm assuming you've come across guys that you had as a leader, as a captain, talk to guys. So maybe speak on that a little bit for folks that maybe never played the game or never been a captain of a sport or something.
Yeah, it's a situation where you as a leader, as a captain, and I was a captain on every team I played on. I was even a captain my rookie year with the Rams. It's your responsibility when you have guys who are not totally on board with what you're trying to do as a team that you have to pull a guy in, talk with them to try to get those guys on board. And if they're not going to be totally on board, you know, hey, maybe this guy needs to move on, coach. You know, you talk to the team about that as well. I think it's too much. You can't rely on the coach to always be delivering the message. You have to have guys in your locker room that polices the locker room, and that was something that I did on multiple occasions. If I saw guys, you know, not doing what they needed to be doing, you know, not being the pros that they need to be, then you have conversations with them guys, and, you know, sometimes it takes multiple conversations, and if they're not still not getting it, then, you know, you encourage the team, hey, man, you know, this guy's not totally on board. We'd be better off without him.
London to the Jets and Adam Gase, who, you know, tough opening week loss, blowing a 16-0 lead at home, losing to the Buffalo Bills. We know the place kicker situation, Ficken now in, Vitka out. But Gase addressing and talking about that game, the messaging there, where and clearly it's a player's league here. There's no doubt. But he put it all on the players and didn't kind of point to himself. What about what you heard from Adam Gase after that tough opening week loss from the Jets?
Well, you know, I know with Adam Gase, he's been a head coach, and he should know how to handle the media in a press conference. You know, he's not a rookie head coach, and, you know, maybe he's just trying to find a different way to challenge his players. From that standpoint,
would that bother you as a player, though?
Somewhat. I think after a loss, or even not even after a loss, any time in the media, you should always first and foremost put the responsibility on you and say, "Hey, I didn't coach well enough," or talk more in general terms. "Hey, we didn't coach these guys well enough. We didn't play well enough." So I think it's easy to do that now in the meeting rooms. You hold guys accountable. You hold guys responsible. Hey, you know, you address problems inside your locker room in those team meeting rooms. But with the media, you have to take the responsibility, take the blame.
Fair. Hey, London, we appreciate the time this morning. We really do. Enjoy all the Week 2 action. And we'll make sure to hydrate while we're enjoying our Crown Royal, all right?
Absolutely. Do it, guys.
All right, man. We
you
appreciate you. Thanks, buddy.
There you go.
All
right. That is London.
He's gone. Yeah.
You know, dude. You see, Mike? He didn't even finish his laugh. Like, it was like mid-laugh.
It was like...
Yeah. It's like, all right, guys. All right.
What?
It's like, all right, guys, we'll talk to... All right, guys, I'll talk. Oh, my God. That was funny.
Back.
Mike's face, though, was the best. Usually, Michael, people don't know, he'll say thank you off air to them.
Yeah.
Mike, what happened? Nothing. Silence.
No,
Jones.
No, he was there. He was there. All
he
good.
Wasn't yeah. there.
He was there.
Really?
All right, come on.
All right, then. Thanks for playing along, Mike.
Thank
good
you,
job.
Mike. Come back.
Oh, no, he wasn't we there. He just cursed me
That's
out.
Awesome.
He said, hey, you know what? For a second, I want to see you in the back room. Yeah. I'm going to take you out. I'll take a bottle of Crown
Royal.
Mike,
we got to go to break. The producer's saying go to break.
We got the three.
We got the three?
Yes.
All right. Just asking.
Bless you. Excuse me.
All right, we got the three coming back up here.
You got it. Taz Boost, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right, on this Thursday morning, 855-212-4227, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. Of course, brought to you by our good friends over at Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico, go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
Hey, you know what happened? I had the earlier. I didn't tell you, but I got to be honest. I had the other half of a bagel.
Good for you. Yeah. You've eaten a lot this morning. You had an egg white sandwich from Starbucks, and then you had a bagel and a muffin. You've taken it all down.
I don't normally
good
eat
job
that
by
much
you
today.
Today.
I don't know why. A lot of stress in my
eating
life.
Season.
Yes, a lot of stress.
Yeah, it does. So let's not go there. I hope everything it works. I hope. Yeah. No, I can understand.
We're Pete all really didn't know what to do.
Yes. Anyway.
That's exactly right.
Exactly
thank
right.
you.
That's exactly it. You got
Bogus.
It.
Hey, I've never been so happy to see Andrew Bogus.
Yeah, me too. I love him. He's great. So Andrew. Sweet. Yes. Other Moose.
Yes.
Oh my so God. The Baltimore.
He's so corny. Not Moose, you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go eat something. Andrew. The Baltimore Orioles did
come
at
on,
least
Andrew.
One good thing this season.
The pitch. And a swing and a high fly ball deep left field. This is long, long gone. To the back of the outfield seats and nearly down the tunnel. VR absolutely unloads on a three-run go-ahead home run.
And makes history. That home run for the season, number 6,106. That breaks the single season mark. Set in 2017 with 2.5 weeks still to go. Baltimore pitchers, by the way, have done their part making that history. They've allowed 280 homers this season. Kevin Brown of the call, by the way, on O's Radio. The O's beat the Dodgers 7-3 the night after L.A. clinched the NL West. To Texas and the end of the Rays' six-game win streak.
The ball driven to right. This one's got a chance. It's up. Out of here. Into the wedge. Down the right field line. Oh, mama, Rougned Odor with a go-ahead three-run home run.
For a 10-9 win over those Rays, that was Jared Sandler on Rangers Radio. Tampa Bay's lead on Oakland atop the AL wildcard standings down to a half game. The A's 5-3 winners in Houston. Cleveland stays a half game behind Oakland with a 4-3 victory in Anaheim. Carlos Carrasco got the win in relief as he continues his comeback from leukemia. Elsewhere in the American League last night, the Yankees didn't win. They didn't lose. They were rained out in Detroit. A doubleheader there today starts at 1 Eastern. Over in the National League, the Cubs lost 4-0 in San Diego after the Brewers won in Miami 7-5. The other Moose, Mike Moustakas, his second homer of the game, broke a 5-5 tie in the eighth. The Brewers and Cubs are now tied for the second NL wild card. The Mets are 2 games back after beating Arizona 9-0. The Phillies lost to the Braves 3-1. They stay 2 games behind that tie. Week 2 in the NFL is here. The Bucs and Panthers are first, an 8:20 Eastern kickoff in Carolina tonight. Both teams lost at home Sunday. Chargers tight end Hunter Henry missed last regular season with a torn ACL. Now he has a broken left knee. Henry reportedly out 4 to 6 weeks. Bolts wideout Michael Williams, very questionable for Sunday against the Lions. He's got his own knee injury. Giants wideout Sterling Shepard remains in concussion protocol. And Raiders rookie safety Jonathan Abram expected to miss the season. He needs surgery for a torn labrum and rotator cuff. Team USA was down 32-7 to Serbia in the first quarter of the fifth-place game at the FIBA World Cup in China this morning.
What happened?
They're in the third quarter right now, and Serbia leads 69-66. So the Americans rally. They won the second quarter 33-12, Taz, to get back into this
Run.
The Pacers!
God, now, that's awesome.
As you know, Taz, many thought this would be the gold medal game, the U.S. and Serbia. Instead, they are playing for fifth place in China.
I remember we took my
Moose. In the breakdown.
Yeah, I remember we talked about it. Yeah, Moose is talking, like, ready.
I am.
His microphone off. Yeah.
I know. Can't believe Justified.
No, I was not a huge fan. But that's a good line. Well done.
Thank you. And the WNBA playoffs started last night. Seattle fought off Minnesota 84-74 to reach the second round, which is also single elimination. The Storm visit the LA Sparks on Sunday. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Here we go. The three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Bill Belichick addresses Antonio Brown's sexual assault allegations.
Yeah, he does. Yesterday he met with the media. Let's play it, Billy. We have it. Ready to go. Here's Belichick talking about Brown yesterday.
On Antonio's situation, both Antonio and his representatives have made statements. And so I'm not going to be expanding on any of those. They are what they are. We've looked into the situation. We're taking it very seriously. All the way through the organization. Sure, there are questions, but I'm not going to be entering into a discussion about that today. So,
Bill, were you aware of the lawsuit when you signed Antonio Brown?
I'm not going to be expanding on the statements that have already been given.
Don't you think the fans deserve to hear a little more from you on
when we know more, we'll say more.
That, you know, could impact the team.
Yeah, I just said that.
Don't you think fans deserve to hear a little bit more?
When we know more, we'll say more.
Are you preparing to have Antonio Brown at practice today?
Yes.
And are you preparing for him to play on Sunday?
We're taking it one day at a time.
Can you tell us at all what Antonio Brown has said to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm done with that. Okay. Anything else on Miami? Any other questions?
Can you explain what you mean when you're done with it? I mean, we're just trying to find out if he said anything to you about his position and about the allegations.
Yeah, and I just answered that question.
Well, actually, you did.
Actually, I did.
That's false.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Let Coach have the last word, right?
That's it. No, he didn't really answer the question, Taz.
No.
And, you know, as you mentioned earlier on, Taz, you can expound upon it a little bit. You know, he's got to do a better job of addressing the media.
Real bad.
He really does.
Really, really bad. Listen, you want to bring in Antonio Brown? 4 hours, whatever the hell it was, 3 hours, sign him to 10 mil and change or whatever it was. 4 or 3 hours after the Raiders released him, and you want to, you know, have this rep that you, Belichick, and your squad, your team, your great franchise, your legacy franchise, that, you know, that you guys have a history and you're the guru of taking guys in, you know, the Randy Mosses, the Corey Dillons of the world, you know, guys, the Haynesworth, whoever, that have whatever, some kind of off-field stuff. Well, this is it. You want to take a guy like Antonio Brown on a team, this is what you have to deal with, Belichick. It's that simple. And you know what? I'm not saying you expected him to have accusations like are being hurled at him right now by this young lady. But still, Antonio Brown is a lightning rod that moves the needle. And these members of the media up there in New England have the right to ask you. They asked him all the right questions. He avoided them like he always does. It was typical, snarky, mundane, low Jones, 2-3-word answers. In this case, Moose, I got a problem with it. I think that's wrong. You got to talk more about it. You got to give more detail. The Patriot fans deserve that. Football fans deserve it. Those media members deserve it. Because this is an extremely sensitive and hot topic right now in a serious situation what this man is being accused of. And you are his head coach. And you're more than just a head coach, Bill Belichick. You're higher than that. Okay, yeah, let's be honest. He's like a GM, dude.
Yeah,
he's not just a head coach. I mean, you know.
No, you're not wrong about that, Taz. Belichick, though, chose that path. You can speculate whether the Patriots knew or didn't know. I don't think they knew. You know, might be CYA mode up there in Foxborough. We'll see how this investigation does play out. Brittany Taylor, the accuser, will meet with the National Football League next week as their investigation has begun. But the Patriots are not going to handle it. Maybe the NFL played some on this commissioner's exempt list, Taz, but if not, expect Antonio Brown, if all things go well the rest of the week, that he will be down in Miami taking on the Dolphins, representing the Pats.
Absolutely.
That's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I agree. I don't know. We got to see how the whole thing plays out and how the NFL deals with this. And, you know, she is supposed to be meeting
next week,
right,
yep,
with the NFL. So we'll see how
she's getting married.
Right, she is getting married, too.
She is getting married.
I read that, too. Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
You know, and the thing is, Drew Rosenhaus, the agent, super agent for 25, 30 years, but the agent of Antonio Brown, along with a ton of other amazing players, he basically said, and we don't have that audio because it's from a different network, but he basically said that they, him and Antonio Brown, had a feeling this was coming down the road here. You know, and basically he said, unfortunately anticipating this possibility. So that's a quote from basically Drew Rosenhaus. So he's basically saying they knew. So if he knew, okay, yeah, and Antonio knew, I would think that he, as the agent, said something to the Patriots. I mean, like we talked about this a lot earlier, and if you want to listen to the podcast of Taz Moose, go to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Radio.com, which should be up and running now, I believe, because I think everybody's getting...
Yeah, email is back.
Yeah, that's right.
Hopefully everything else.
I know our web team is checking on Radio.com to see if the podcast is available. That I do know.
Correct. So, well, hopefully we'll have that answer for you momentarily.
Yeah, we do things quick here.
We have a ticking clock, Billy?
Yeah, so tick-tock. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean,
no, we'll find out in terms of with Brown here, Taz. I don't think he should be placed on the exempt list. I'll tell you why, because I'm not defending him in any way, shape, or form. If he's guilty, he should never play in the NFL again, should face criminal charges. But you are innocent until you're proven guilty. And sometimes you can be falsely accused here, Taz. So I don't think you can throw the book at Antonio Brown just based on an accusation,
right,
that has yet to... He deserves his day in court.
Right, I agree.
I mean, and so we'll see how it does play out. I don't think he'll be playing on the exempt list. He's wearing number one at practice, Taz. I think right now all signs are pointed for him wearing that Patriots jersey on Sunday and representing New England.
Yeah, he's learning the plays. He's learning the playbook. He's trying to get a chemistry with Tom Brady right now and the other receivers and stuff. Pass routes and whatnot, and you know, thing is, man, like I really think that I'm with you as far as the exempt list and all that stuff. Like you just can't start doing that. You can't take players just on accusation, and no matter how goofy, silly, or bad guy Antonio Brown is, you just can't pass judgment on him. He's claiming he's innocent. He said that the truth's going to come forward. This is through Rosenhaus.
Yep.
So, you know, he did have a relationship with this. He went to college with her, then he had a relationship with her. Whatever kind of relationship. We don't know if it was friendship, it was a sexual relationship. We have no idea. It's a lot of times with civil suits, it comes down to he said, she said. I mean, you know, who knows what the truth are? We're just all outsiders, you know? So
no doubt.
We don't know. But very serious allegations, like strong, you know.
No question strong, about it. You know? No question about it. But he was at practice yesterday, and he'll be at practice today.
Number two.
Report. Justify failed drug test before winning Triple Crown.
Right. So he actually, you know, failed a drug test before he won the Santa Anita Derby, which enabled him, after winning that race in 2018, to qualify and run in the Kentucky Derby. And then we know he won the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont Stakes, never raced again, went into the breeding shed. A huge breeding deal for Elliot Walden and Windstar Farm. Mike Smith, the winning jockey, Bob Baffert, trainer. Baffert's expected to issue a response to the story by Joe Drape in New York Times yesterday. But what, in essence, if you didn't read the article, Taz, we touched upon it earlier, terrible for horse racing, terrible for the sport, because it alleges that the California Horse Racing Board did not follow proper protocol after Justify tested positive for a high amount of a banned substance, scopolamine, which can act as a bronchodilator on horses, enhance performance. It was an extreme amount of it in his blood. They had a second blood sample that tested. It tested positive. Drape alleges that if they followed proper protocol, you never would have been able to run in the Kentucky Derby. The California Horse Racing Board said, well, you have 60 to 90 days to file an appeal. So he could potentially have still ran in the Triple Crown and the like. However, they kind of buried the story, or buried the failed drug test, as after he won the Triple Crown. Anyway, you look at it, this is not one you want to hear about an event or an accomplishment that really captivated this country's attention.
Yeah, it's we covered this a lot earlier, but you're right. It's really bad look for the sport of horse racing. you know, Bob Baffert has a, you know, a pretty, like I was saying to you earlier, I was asking, you know, you really follow horse racing and a supporter of it and stuff like that, and have an excellent podcast that you do at times with Monzo and for Naira. So, you know, you'd be the guy to lean on with this, but like, so Baffert, squeaky clean usually,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he does not have...
Bad look for him out here.
Bad look. And we'll see what he says today. That'll be the next level of this story, is see what the Hall of Fame trainer and legendary Southern California trainer says today in reference to this Joe Drape report in the New York Times. All right, next.
Number three.
MLB sets new home run record with 2.5 weeks to go.
Yeah, I mean, you dig to all the long balls, Taz?
Man, this is tough. Because my team hits a lot of them, so the Mets. So,
they
Yankees, Twins, too. Yeah.
Everyone seems to be hitting them. But you're right. I mean, the Mets hit a lot of them last night, as the Mets are just two games out of that second wild card spot in the National League and worked their way back into contention. But set a new Major League Baseball home run mark. Jonathan Villar from the Baltimore Orioles hit the home run that set the new record for amount of home runs hit in a single Major League Baseball regular season. Now, the issue you have is there's 2.5 weeks to go.
I know.
They're going to obliterate the record.
Yeah, no kidding. I buy in. You know, it's exciting. You know, it's even though, you know, balls are juiced, there's more trampoline effect off the bat due to whatever type of maple bats are, different, you know, whatever that trampoline effect is happening, with if it's the wood or if it's the ball, whatever it may be, it's definitely getting some help. The parks, too, are different than years ago. A lot of the ballparks are just not, you know, the porch is a shorter porch. I get... When I'm watching a game, you know, I'm like most guys or girls that are baseball fans. You know, I'm not thinking about, I wonder if the balls are just juiced so they get more runs. I wonder if these certain guys using a certain type of bat. Oh, how far is the Mets are playing the Reds? How far, for instance, how far is the center field wall? I don't think of that stuff. So, to answer your question, it doesn't bother me. I think it's exciting.
Oh,
you know?
No, I get it. And listen, it does bother me, the amount. And I guess just the amount of guys that have hit 20 or more home runs, Taz. Don't you think it hurts the accomplishment when you have so many home runs being hit and you're going to look back on this year, a guy all of a sudden, you know, hits, you know, 40 home runs out of the blue, and you're going to say, wow, that was the year that there was an issue, whether it be the drag, whether it be the pill being a little bit off-center in the center of the baseball, whatever it might be, the laces a little bit lower, you know, pitchers were having trouble gaining. Doesn't lessen the accomplishment anymore? It's still hard to hit a baseball, I get it, but these guys are as good as it gets. I mean, you're talking about the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
But when everyone's doing it, doesn't it hurt?
I mean,
I'm
not saying no. I mean, it's tough to argue on that. I mean, I understand what you're saying. There's a plethora amount of valid points in your statement. You know, I look at it like this. It's like, what era? There's always something. Guys are hitting home runs. All right, so whatever. It's Sosa and McGuire, and these guys are all on the gas. They're all juiced up. Everybody's on steroids. Right. Okay, well, it's during the golden age of baseball, and, you know, Mickey Mantle, these legends, and Joe DiMaggio. Okay, yeah, well, the guys weren't, they were throwing hard, but there wasn't as much stuff, wasn't much action on the ball, you know. I mean, all right, now in this year, all right, well, the balls are juiced, or the bats are this, you know. It's like there's always, look, like you
there's
said,
always
it,
an excuse.
There is, and dude, you said it. It's ultra hard to hit a baseball. It's the hardest thing to do in sports is to hit a baseball.
No, like, I don't disagree with you. It's just the amount and the how quick they're doing it.
It tarnishes it a little bit. I get what you're saying.
It does. Yeah. That's the right word. It tarnishes it.
Well, I'm a wordsmith. It's in my bio on my friggin' Twitter.
Oh, very nice.
Do you know that?
I did not. I did not.
You should read it.
I've read. I did not notice that addition to your bio on Twitter. I did not notice that.
You should do the same thing. You're a wordsmith
also. I will. That'll be. I'll add wordsmith.
You should.
I think maybe I'll just delete everything and just put wordsmith.
All kidding aside, I almost did that. I'm not kidding.
That's good.
Almost did that because that's what the cool people do. They have one word.
I know.
Very cool.
I understand that.
I know, but we need all the promotion we can get.
One word that encapsulates you.
Right. Exactly. Slunker.
Well, no. Maybe we should throw that out. Maybe we should throw that out to the audience.
Oh,
hit us up at Taz and the Moose.
Oh, no.
What word would you describe Taz, what word would you describe myself?
Oh, you can't do this. You're asking. This is punishment.
No,
we're going to get beat
up.
I mean, not everyone's going to love you.
Fun. Have you looked at social media? And people aren't fun on social media.
Some are.
What are you, Fantasy
Chan
Island?
Man, the Kingsman.
Oh, those are great people. Those
yes.
Are,
yeah, those Speakerphone are. Jones, the partner of Bisseglia on the fantasy team.
I think many.
My son.
That's your son, right? Speakerphone Jones, the
Don't
son of Mike Bisseglia.
Don't call him son.
Oh, it's a son. It's father and son. That's
father
the name of their fantasy
son.
Team.
Yeah, it's an extension from another part of our lives as well.
Alrighty then.
Don't you think that would be great? What word? What one word, if I'd ask you, Taz, would you want to describe you if you had to pick a word?
Champion.
There you go. That's it. Easy.
How about you, Moose?
I
was teasing. Okay. No. I know if you think I'm dead serious, but I'm really not.
I did not. I was joking around.
I was joking.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I got to come up with something.
I would say if I had
is that
about,
really the thing? Are you pulling my leg? Is it the thing now to do one word Twitter?
I'm not saying it's the thing, but a lot of people I know that I follow that
it's
I
hip?
Also know. It's hip, and I want to be hip. That's my goal.
Yes.
So I'm going to do this. But I'll tell you, how about we do this? Instead of posing to the audience, because they could be mean, how about I tell you a word that would describe you that you should use on your Twitter bio about you? You tell me one about me.
Okay.
I'll go first. If for you, Mark Melusis.
Mark Melusis.
What I would do.
This is...
No, this is all good, dude. Yeah. You're gonna love it.
It's here.
I would do, it's one word, but it's two words, but I don't know the grammar on it. Workhorse.
Okay, workhorse.
So that I would say, what do you think? Is that accurate for Moose?
I love
Moose?
It. Yes,
right.
Great.
What do you think, Billy? You know Moose a long time. That's accurate for Moose, right? Okay, Billy's not paying.
Billy said yes.
Billy's just looking around like, and you are.
Billy's looking for another bagel.
But Billy's looking at me like, are you Tierney or Tiki?
No, yeah, okay, no, right. Stop. If I had a, I would say,
you're gonna bury me.
No, I'm not gonna bury him. I would not gonna bury you. I would say
take your time.
Mike, you're intense.
Oh, wow, I like that. See now, that's a good idea. Like if someone has the word intense on their body, like oh, I gotta follow this guy.
Yeah, well, I think yeah. I mean, there's.
I always intense.
No, not always, but you do have you know a regimented thing in terms of you have an intensity about you, and I look at that as a positive.
I know I try not to because my wife says that about me, and she doesn't say
does
it like
really?
Yeah, not really in complimentary form.
No, I'm saying it in a complimentary form.
No, she just says that I'm a little too intense.
I think you can intimidate other people. You and I have been friends for a little while here. Going on over a couple years.
Was it a year and 6 months and four days?
No,
usually give the whole breakdown
of
the minutes.
Before the show
launched. Okay, I just want to make sure. Usually you give like down to the seconds.
19 months.
See, that's what I'm saying. No, I'm like, no, what's that? I know that guy 2.5 years. Yeah. That was 19 months and
right,
3 days.
I talk about like a child.
That's unbelievable.
Taz and I have been friends for 20 months and 2 days.
I was a child. Oh, 19 months. How long are you friends with Taz? 19 months.
That's funny.
What about Mikey B? What, we have one word for his bio on Twitter. Hmm. I would lean... You go first, Bruce.
No.
Okay, you go first.
How would I describe Mikey B in one word on Twitter?
That is Twitter bio. Take your time. I have one.
All right,
you have to go
no,
first.
No,
you have
a lead
voice. You're the quarterback. You talk
no,
first.
No, stop. Give me a word.
I was
Mike.
Being you're sarcastic. I actually don't have one.
Oh, okay.
You
thank you. Thank you.
So much for being a wordsmith, right?
One word to describe Mike.
Do you change?
I would say Mike is loyal.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good.
I like that.
I think that's good. Loyal.
I think Mike is loyal.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think Mike is, I would, for his Twitter bio, litter box. No, I'm joking because he's a big cat
like
lover.
It.
I know you like that. Loyal's good. I would go with a simple one word for him.
What?
Podcaster.
Podcaster.
You're going to say simple.
What?
Yesterday
I had to send Mike some money versus Venmo. I start giving my wife, she has Venmo, I don't.
I
tell Donna, I go, we have to send Mike some money. She goes, starts looking it up on Venmo. She's like, oh yeah, that's right. It's the guy with the picture with the cat.
That's me.
855-212-4227. That is your number to call.
The guy with the picture of the cat.
That's it. It's Taz and the Moose. We'll come back. We got the undercard for you right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. And the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
You might need it soon, Moose. You might have some time on your
hands. Stop. Week two of the NFL on CBS begins with an AFC showdown between the Pats and the Dolphins, then travel west to watch Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs battle the Raiders in Oakland. It all begins with the NFL today on CBS.
I'm bloated, man.
I understand that. No, good luck with that.
I'm not.
We ate a lot.
No, hold on. But wait, it's not that. Just that. I'm not used to eating that many carbs in one sitting, like starch carbs like that. So I ended up having a half bagel, and then I had the other half, and now I'm bloated Jones. I mean, I'm not used to this. My body is so fickle and so in tune that any little odd adjustment to it, there's a problem. And that's where I am now. So right after the show, I'm probably going to go to the track. Not the track you're thinking, the track to run laps.
No, I understand. Good luck.
And run some laps. You know what I mean? That's what I'm thinking. I'm not going to Belmont.
I understand. Oh, hopefully
I'm not flying down to Hialeah. You know what I mean?
No. No longer working. No
is that still there?
No.
Oh.
No longer in operation.
My bad. I'm sorry.
So my bads are out the window.
2019, not 92. I don't know when Hialeah closed a long time ago.
Did it really?
I still think it's open. I still think they use it as a training track, but I think.
If anybody knew what it was, I knew it'd be you.
No, well, watch the great Richard Dreyfuss movie, Let It Ride.
I never have seen that. No.
Great horse racing movie.
Really?
Let It Ride, yeah. It's fantastic. Mm. Mike is, he's got a spatula in his hands. Time for the undercard.
Oh, wow. What's that about? What the hell's going on?
No idea.
Taz and the Moose present the Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
Hi, Mike. What do you got, buddy?
Does it seem like people are disinterested or not care that Team USA lost and it doesn't seem like a big deal?
Not as big of a deal probably as it was back when, because I think people were, you know, they were outraged when they lost initially. Then, you know, Team USA also, with some of the way they handled themselves, some of the players embarrassed themselves. Then they got back to dominating the world again, to where now I think there's such a laissez-faire mentality, Taz. Plus, you had like B and C and D-level guys playing on this team. It wasn't the stars. They're like, yeah, sign me up. Mm. They didn't care.
Well, and to the point that most people don't care about Team USA losing to France, all this stuff. It was on our regular rundown, and now it's on the undercard. To prove, and that proves to the point that no one gives a rat's flying ass about this. You understand, Mike? It almost shouldn't even made the undercard.
Yeah, and they're down 5 right now to Serbia with 28 seconds.
All right.
Yeah, well, they're not motivated now after losing to France.
No.
That ended all motivation. All right, next. Thank you.
All right.
Hello.
All right, we're transition free today. Dwight Howard enjoys pet snakes and has some in his new mansion that was displayed. Odd?
No.
How many pet snakes?
He's got a tank filled with them. I don't have the exact number.
Oh, God, that's gross.
I'll tell you what.
That's odd.
Other day, out in my yard, I'm over there by the pool.
Garden snake.
Dude, no, not a snake. A lizard.
Boa constrictor.
A lizard, bro.
Chameleon.
No. Yeah, it was a chameleon. How'd you know?
Oh, no. Just a guess.
Dude, how the hell did this lizard end up on Long Island, dude?
I don't know.
It had to be a pet that jumped out of someone's cage.
Would you have a container or a display filled with snakes? I hate snakes. Yeah. I would want no part.
Well, I'm from the wrestling business, so I'm used to them.
Yes. Good luck. No, but seriously, do you like snakes?
No, I hate them.
I would not want to be around a snake. I'd pass.
Terrifying.
But as long as Dwight Howard enjoys them, there you go.
Good for
Mike. Yeah. Billy, great job. Bogus with the update.
Yes.
Taz, enjoy your Thursday, bud.
You too, sir. Thank you, everyone.
You got it. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.